This is Shula, my dear god brother.
Can you autograph it? That was one of the techniques in book distribution we used to use. Yeah. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschati Shatarini Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Darham Vande Sri Guru Dilatarinam. So I am most honored to be here in this very august company on this most sacred occasion. And I'm feeling very fortunate just to be here, first of all. And to be honored to be sitting here and speak before you all is the highest honor on this occasion. So it was my greatest good fortune to come in contact with the Krishna Consciousness Movement, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, doing Harinam in the street in Amherst, Massachusetts, 1971. Amherst is a very college town, and Vishnujan Maharaj's roadshow bus tour was there for a couple weeks doing programs. And I was there in a co-op, macrobiotic co-op, getting my provisions for a week, $5 a week I lived on for food, brown rice, azuki beans, sesame oil. And I was in the bookstore, the co-op store, and I was purchasing my things, and then all of a sudden there was this flash of two or three devotees. Going down the street in Harinam, Chandrasekhar Prabhu, he's very tall, and now does the ISKCON prison program, he and his wife. And he was barefoot. In fact, I think two out of three of the devotees were barefoot. Two of them, Chandrasekhar, they both had these no shirts, just the kurta, the dhoti top across from shoulder to shoulder. And they had a three-man Harinam party, and it was my first contact with Krishna consciousness. And I couldn't even hear what they were chanting, at least consciously. Of course, I'd heard the Hair album, you know, where they have a Hare Krishna chorus, and George Harrison also Hare Krishna. So that was all subliminal. I'd never chanted it or even consciously knew the mantra at all. Never saw it printed or anything. So they came by and it just flashed in front of the store for a brief moment only. What is that?
Love
of life. And I was just, it was like a moment of ecstasy. And I said right to the cashier, "What was that?" You know, these robes and chanting and. And the owner's store was impious, apparently. And he just dismissed, said something. And I didn't even hear it. You know, when your eyes, they're very big at night, the pupils. And then when you see some bright light, all of a sudden they shrink to tiny little, they just close up completely. So it was like my ears just closed up. And I didn't even hear what he said. Because it was just, this guy doesn't know what I just experienced. And so then 2 weeks later, I was out in the woods doing some Tai Chi. And then all of a sudden, I started chanting Hare Krishna. The mantra came to my lips, full mantra. And again, without ever practicing it, knowing it, or anything. And that day, I was hitchhiking back to Boston. And I was picked up by Vishnujan Maharaj's roadshow, taken to the Boston Temple on Beacon Street, the old Radha Krishna Temple. It used a beautiful sign, Shishi Radha Krishna Temple, big sign over Beacon Street, right near Kenmore Square. First class, you know, the Commonwealth is even better, but it was also very good. It was the hip place of town, where Beacon Street. Went to the temple. It was the appearance day of Lord Nrsingadev, and I never left. I said, this is what I've been looking for all my life, for a spiritual path. And so that's the power of the holy name, power of Prabhupada's servants who are distributing that holy name. So maybe that's not there. But because I was actually thinking, what would I say? I was actually singing that song, Vaishnav Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the tattvas, Guru Tattva, is distilled in these songs. Just like Prabhupada says, Narottam Das Thakur's songs, very simple Bengali, but all the truths of the Vedas are packed in the secrets are hidden, simple songs. So all Guru Tattva is there. Vaishnav Thakur. First of all, Guru Ashrayam. First principle of bhakti is we have to take shelter. You have to find bona fide Vaishnava. If you, someone who has bhakti, you have to get bhakti from them. And bhakti you cannot get by your own power. As I was remarking, Shin Buddhism in Japan, they have gospel of pure grace. So Prabhupada, we like this. So the principle is, they're opposed to all the other Buddhisms, not by jiriki, not by your own power can you get liberation, but by tariki, by higher power. The mercy of the Buddha, the grace of the Buddha, that's how you'll get liberation. So bhakti is not by your own power. If we're thinking, I am performing bhakti, I'm doing sadhana, you're not doing bhakti, right? Bhakti kriyamanani gunai karamani sarvasha ahankara vibhudhatma kartaham iti manyate. If you think you're the doer, kartaham iti manyate, then what are you? You're vibhudhatma. You're bewildered. You don't understand. Bhakti is by grace. So that fine line, endeavor, our own endeavor, what is grace, Guru Kripas, Sadhana Siddha, Kripa Siddha, this is all subtleties of Vaishnava philosophy. Because the impersonalist Mayavadis are also chanting Hare Krishna. Now Kirtan is very much prominent in all yoga places, and it's all impersonal, they're chanting any mantra, Hare Krishna, everything. But what is some bhaktis there, some Abbas, or Pratibimba Abbas. It's reflection, dark reflection, or separated reflection. But pure bhakti is only by the grace of a Vaishnava. So, that song, Vaishnava Thakur, what's it called? Thakur, Doryasha, Edase Karuna Kora. First, take shelter of Vaishnava. Bhakti is coming. The devotee is a reservoir of bhakti. By coming contact, somehow or another, even through his devotees. These devotees on Harina were not pure devotees, but they were caring, they were messengers, they were connecting. Bhakti is very powerful and mystical. just like the naming of Guru Kripa, you can only imagine. He's asking Prabhupada, I want to be your first Kripa Siddha, and he gets that name. So very. And if those who know inside story of Guru Kripa, he needed a lot of concession. We all do, actually. The degree, that's all actually on the relative platform, how much apparent or not apparent. We all have so many anarthas. So only by taking shelter of Vaishnava, coming in contact with Vaishnava, can you even get access to bhakti. And what is the first principle? You take shelter of Vaishnava, then you take his discipline. Chaya bega dami, chaya doshi chodi, chaya guna deha dasi. Give me, really, from my faults, give me the good qualities, and most of all, give me your association. The association of the devotee is the dynamic by which bhakti is enhanced. Like Prabhuji said very nicely, the directions are there, but most important direction, don't go alone. Bhakti, you think you can do bhakti alone by yourself, you're not doing bhakti, it's an abhasa bhakti. Ego, false ego must be there. It's always there. It's already there. So to relieve that ego and to realize our eternal identity, we take the discipline of Gurudev. Chaya begadami, chaya doshu shodhi, chaya gunadehadasa. That association is the very dynamic by which you make advancement. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada. And then Ekaki Amar, you realize, I can't do it alone. Not possible. And then in the highest stage, Krishna is revealed directly within the heart. This is, of course, the highest esoteric philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which I am unqualified to speak on. But I'm very honored to be here today. It is a day of remembrance, a day of appreciation, and a day of gratitude. Because if you study psychology, forgiveness, healing, everything is based on this feeling of gratitude. Even if you're in the most difficult situation, this gratitude can take you from the low. Well, first of all, you'll survive. If you know what is Viktor Frankl, he survived Holocaust, torture camp. He wrote a book, Existential Philosophy. Can't remember the name. But anyway, about this gratitude for even whatever you have builds upon itself. It's the very basis of healing, the principle, forgiveness, everything. Gratitude will give you everything. So remembering, appreciating, being grateful, this is what we're here to churn the nectar of our Gurudev's mercy. What we've received, what he's done, our activities and sacrifice, all of you also who are hearing Prabhupada's teachings, there so much is there. So on that note, out of appreciation and gratitude, Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhu Ki Jai. Where's Shutadev? Can you see if he's there? I need some of these books. No, I'll just give it to him like this. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Gopremanande Haribo.
Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Shamita Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kachani Nirvishi Shishunivadi Pashtachari Shidhani Om Aganatam Imdasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Nivitanya Nathasma Shigaru Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adoita Hirada Shri Vasili Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vancha Kapatrugas Chakri, Pasinibhiva Chakri,
Patitanam Bhavani Vaishnavi.
Hare Krishna. So I've printed out a few letters from Srila Prabhupada to share with you. Srila Prabhupada spent a considerable amount of time, if not the majority, the most of his time, translating his books. And, of course, Prabhupada said that he would live forever within his books. We can have Prabhupada's personal association through his books. So, in 1973, Srila Prabhupada wrote this letter. It was an initiation letter. I didn't write down, I think, no, it was Detroit. He was writing this, "My dear sons and daughters, please accept my blessing." So nice, Prabhupada called us his sons and daughters. "I am due receipt of your very nice letters in Dakshin of $650. Upon the recommendation of Govardhan, I am pleased to accept you as my disciples. Now you must all carefully follow these four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Always be sure to chant minimum 16 rounds daily. Study my books carefully. Go for Sankirtan and engage in deity worship in the temple. You are all very sincere boys and girls. And now I request you to make your life successful for going back home, back to Godhead. Hoping this meets you in good health." And then in the same year, he wrote to Vancouver, and he said, "Now my request to all of you is that you very seriously and sincerely stick to the principles of devotional service, and especially observe strictly the four prohibitions, and without fail always chant at least 16 rounds on your beads daily. In this way, you will always be happy. You have now got the golden opportunity of this human form of life, and it is not by accident that you have met your spiritual master. So if you are actually intelligent, you will take advantage of Krishna's blessings upon you and go back to home, back to Godhead. The essential point to remember is that by your activity, you will please always your spiritual master. That means following the orders and instructions of your spiritual master. And my first instruction to all of my disciples is that they become Krishna-conscious devotees themselves and help others to become devotees by spreading this Krishna-consciousness movement all over the world, utilizing their energy however they are best able to do it. In this way, if you keep yourselves always engaged in Krishna's business 24 hours, then you will be freed from all attachment to Maya by Krishna's grace. Just as when the darkness and the light come together, the darkness cannot stand before the light, so Maya cannot remain in the presence of Krishna. Always remember, therefore, to chant Hare Krishna, and that will save you in all circumstances without any doubt." Hare Krishna. Then in 1975, Srila Prabhupada wrote to Duryodhan Guru, who was working on some of the books, "I want that someone learns how to make mridangas in the Western countries. As far as I know, Ishan has not produced any mridangas. I have no blah, 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 blah. Please study my books very carefully and do not fail in chanting at least 16 rounds daily." Then he wrote to Ati Chandra Dasi. Did anybody know Ati Chandra Dasi? First thing is that one must understand Srimad Bhagavatam fully. The first verse, if you simply explain, will take volumes and volumes. So please study my books intensely and do not fail to chant 16 rounds daily. That will make everything perfect. And then to another devotee he wrote, be very careful to follow all of the regulative principles nicely and chant 16 rounds and study my books very deeply. So he said, he's used studying the books very deeply, study the books intensely, study the books very carefully. Then to Bhargava, he wrote, our advancement in Krishna consciousness is made possible in two ways, by knowledge and renunciation, jnana and tyag, or tapasya. The more we become advanced, renounced from this material world, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness. But we are only able to make such sacrifices and perform tapasya if we have gotten knowledge. So first thing is to become knowledgeable in Krishna consciousness. Then the tapasya, or voluntary life of austerity, will result automatically. So I'm requesting all of my students to read my books very seriously, every day, without fail. In this way, if your mind becomes absorbed at least 1 or 2 hours daily in the transcendental subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other books, then very easily you will make your advancement in Krishna consciousness. It is not a matter of changing our engagement, adjusting this or that material condition in order to find our real happiness. Krishna consciousness is not like that. It is able to be performed under any variety of material conditions or with any type of engagement. If we are Krishna, therefore I recommend you to read my books more and more and try to understand the subject matter from different angles of vision and be always discussing it with your god brothers even while you are working at the press. And when you are working and you cannot read, then listen to the tapes of my lectures and hear in that way. And never neglect to chant your 16 rounds of beads daily, rise early without fail, attend Mangalarti, take bath, and follow the other regulative principles, and everything will come out very successfully. You can rest assured of that. Hare Krishna. And then finally, last letter, I wrote Srila Prabhupada in 1976, told him that I was having a lot of difficulties and I was seeing that other senior devotees were falling away and having difficulties. So I expressed my mind to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back a few things. I answered a few questions. And then he said, if you want to stay in Krishna consciousness, you will have to develop firm faith in Guru and Shastra. Therefore, you must study my books very scrutinizingly. Follow the four regulative principles very strictly and chant 16 rounds daily, avoiding the 10 offenses. Don't take this movement as something cheap. Thank you for the picture of the deities. Hoping this will meet you in good health. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if we just take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books, very carefully, very intensely, very deeply, and very scrutinizingly, every day reading without fail Srila Prabhupada's books, then our advancement in Krishna consciousness will be very nice. Hare Krishna.
Amen.
So again, we'd like to thank Shruti Dev Prabhu for his enlightening us and offering such sweet words of offering to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. And now we introduce Her Grace Mahaguna Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So I hope I can do this without tears again. Mm-hmm. Today is a very special day to actually glorify Srila Prabhupada and his activities. But I was always focused on my shortcomings of my devotional service and also to serve Srila Prabhupada. And so that always brought tears in my eyes because I felt like I couldn't do what he expected me to. But today, I'm going to set that aside and talk about Prabhupada. And I was thinking that, you know, what I should be grateful about Srila Prabhupada. And in order to really glorify him, one really has to meditate upon him and his activities deeply. And then, so that that activity alone gave me a great hope. Even though my inability to express myself very well, nor to understand his full glory, just by attempting to glorify him, I feel I became closer to him. And then one thing I wanted to say was I was reading a book some time ago, and in there somebody said there was a one of the Prabhupada's lila, that this was 1967, that very early days. The Prabhupada was going through at San Francisco at Berkeley and then going back to India, and he was feeling a little sick. So, and they were taking a morning walk in Stenson Beach, I think. And, you know, all our devotees are so young and immature. They're worried that if something happened to Prabhupada, he's not going to come back. What's going to happen if you don't come back? Are you going to send us some of your god brothers to us, you know? And then Prabhupada said, he actually paused. And he said, my Guru Maharaj is not an ordinary spiritual master. And he had tears in his eyes. And he paused a little bit. Then he said again, that my Guru Maharaj saved me. So by his example, the strong faith and conviction in his Guru Maharaj, that we are also saved. Thank you. This is like everything. So for us to really feel great appreciation to what Prabhupada had given to us, in spite of all these difficulties he had come through, just to save fallen souls like us, So if you can always remember that he had saved us, then I think we can, from there we can develop the faith and an appreciation and a determination to continue going on. And to obey spiritual master and to have faith in spiritual master is just like how he demonstrated to us in 1967, that we truly feel from the bottom of our heart, with the tears, that he had saved us. And I hope I can never forget that, because everything starts from there. And then the last thing I wanted to say was I just wanted to thank everyone for giving me this opportunity to think about him, and trying to glorify him in my very, very humble ways. It's because all of you present here that I can actually think about him in a much more deep way than I usually am, you know. So thank you, everyone, and thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada.
Jagarini. Jagarini. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vancha Kalpa Chubas Chakri Pisitapiva Chapatitanam Pavanim Vaishnavanamonaha. So another wonderful occasion to express extreme gratitude to all of you for your association, your inspiration, your vitality, and everybody who has spoken so far has mentioned faith in Guru, faith in Guru, and this is how we get strong in our faith to our spiritual master, is by seeing more and more people take this on and become happy, the spark in their eye, the enthusiasm in their devotional service, and more people joining our family. I have a part of my service is with Vaishnava's Care, and that's the ISKCON hospice facilitation group. We're not always at everybody's departure, but we do have, well, not so much myself. I serve the devotees who are hospice workers and actually do give a lot of advice and hands-on. But I do come in contact with a lot of the stories, a lot of all the information, the details of the different devotees that are departing around the world. And Prabhupada told us that, you know, we could die at any moment, and we've heard that over and over again. And we think of it occasionally, but when you think about what you have at the end of your life, it's really faith in Guru and Krishna that's the link between this world and our going back to Godhead. We've read stories, we know in our hearts, we hear things, but it's at the end it's just us. You're alone, it's just you and your faith in your Guru and Krishna. So it's like Mahaguna, typically on this occasion I'm more thinking about how I failed and, you know, what I can be doing to better myself and become a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada was such a glorious spiritual master that he gave us, it's my mind just kind of goes fuzzy because there's just so much there. There's so much there that he gave us. I mean, fear of death is something that everybody has in the world. Everybody. It doesn't matter what nationality. And Prabhupada took that away for us. He gave us beautiful things in our life. Colors, fragrances, activities. Dancing, singing. Prasadam, and you know, there's just too much to for this little teeny heart to even have a spark of gratitude for it all. So I just want to pray that I can step up more and more, and be a representative of Srila Prabhupada and help all the devotees in any way that I can. Thank you very much.
Is that something you wrote?
You're cool, it's 11:17. Huh?
Here I am.
Huh? I told you. 11:17. That's what I told her. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It's nice to be here in your presence. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. My dear Srila Prabhupada, I humbly offer my prostrate obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. Throughout the scriptures, there are accounts of exalted luminaries who appear to reestablish the science of Krishna consciousness, who at great risk and by overcoming seemingly insurmountable obstacles come to dispel the darkness of ignorance so prevalent in this age of Kali. You are that topmost devotee of Sri Krishna Srila Prabhupada. You were a young man when you, on the behest of your friends, came to hear from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. During the few darshans you had with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he directed you to spread the bhakti cult of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. He stressed the importance of printing books over building temples. Previously, other disciples had ventured out to preach on his behalf, but they did not meet with much success. 45 years ago, following the order of your Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you selflessly set out for the West to give us the rare and precious gift of Sri Nam. By purely following his instruction, you met with all success. You fulfilled the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the holy name would be chanted in every town and village. On the morning that you so mercifully accepted me as your disciple, you lectured on the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.1. Sutta Uvacha said, Ita Bita Praja Drohat Sarva Dharma Vivitsaya Tato Vina Sanam Pragat Yatra Deva Vrata Patat. Sutta Goswami said, being afraid of having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows about to pass away. In your talk, you described how Yudhisthira Maharaj had become puzzled, thinking that he had killed so many prajas, living entities. He was wondering, what is my position? I have become so sinful. How can I rule over the empire? He was bewildered and afraid, and in this state, he approached Grandfather Bhishma. You went on to explain, padam padam vipadam. There is danger at every step in this material world, and because we become confused in this perilous condition, the Vedic instruction is that we must approach a bona fide guru. You emphasize must approach a guru. There is no question of becoming our own guru and, quote, chalking out our own path. After your lecture, when it came time for initiation, and you asked me, so, you know the rules and regulations? Once I answered, you said, so your name is Nirakula Dasi, Nirakula. Akula means one who becomes confused, and Nira means not. One who does not become confused, fixed up. Hare Krishna. As I knelt before you, intent on what you were saying to me, I was utterly baffled when you said, Akula means one who becomes confused. Time seemed to slow down, and those few seconds seemed like an eternity. It felt as if my brain was bouncing around in my head. But as you went on with the complete definition of my new name, and Nira means not, that daze was lifted, and I could smile along with the other devotees. I was humbled and amazed at the power of your words over me. I was the servant of one who does not become confused. What more proof did I need? I had been lost, afraid, and bewildered, and by your causeless mercy I had been saved. Only through my connection with you could I attain the mercy of Krishna. Only by your grace could I learn to know, love, and serve him. Much has happened since that day and since you departed from this mortal plane. As a society and as individuals, we have passed through numerous challenges, disappointments, and adversities. We have learned much, perhaps most importantly, that you have not left us, that you live forever in your books. As you told us shortly before you departed, if I depart, there is no cause for lamentation. I will always be with you through my books and my orders. I will always remain with you in that way. Most of us also know that you said, there is nothing new to be said. Whatever I had to say, I have already said in my books. Now you must all try to understand it and continue with your endeavors. On this anniversary of your divine appearance, I beg you to please help me in my endeavor to understand your purports. Without your blessing, they are simply words on a page. Please always keep me close to you in the association of your loyal and steadfast devotees. As a father doesn't take seriously the unintended offenses of his child, please also forgive my many offenses. Please correct and protect me. Please help me to become fearless in the execution of my service to you. O most merciful Master, I am yours eternally to do with as you like. Please do whatever you deem necessary in order to make this this unqualified soul, your eternal servant. Hare Krishna.
Devi Dasi Ki.
Bhumi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavani Paschacha Deshatarine. Vanchakalpa Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Before I read my offering, which is part of this Srila Prabhupada's tributes book, I want to express gratitude for to Jayadwaita Swami and I think Satyaraj also helped with this book. And this is the first year that they've actually invited any Srila Prabhupada disciple to write an offering. And as a result, this is the first offering I've ever written for Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, I get to come for the Vyas Puja celebration this year prepared. Where that hasn't happened before. So, on that note, this is my very first Vyas Puja offering I've ever written. My dearest Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most fallen obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to the association you have created for us so that we were able to learn how to perform devotional service. Among your disciples, you have created so many gurus. I am forever indebted to those sons and daughters of yours who trained me in devotional service and befriended me, even though I was and remain most unqualified. Since this is the first offering I have ever written for you, I would like to thank you for giving me a loving family. You are my eternal Father, and I would like to take this opportunity to offer gratitude to all the wonderful devotees whom I have known over the years and who have helped me learn about Krishna consciousness and who have taken their valuable time to instruct me and accompany me as I attempted to serve you. I met up with your devotees in 1972 in the Brooklyn Henry Street Temple. It was abuzz with devotional activity, and I became immediately enchanted by the rare and unusually amazing qualities that your devotees possessed. I had not even read a book or met you personally, yet I knew I wanted what these devotees possessed, and I wanted very badly to taste what they were experiencing. His Holiness Vishnu John Swami let me go out with his transcendental rock opera and observe and participate. He chanted and spoke so beautifully, I was sold in a second. When I came back to the temple, wherever I turned, each devotee was more special than the next. The second I walked in for the very first time, Janardhan Prabhu sold me a book on the stairs of the temple and took my only dollar. He did not give me any change either. I guess that was my first big lesson. When you give to Krishna, you don't hold anything back. Later on, Janardhan became my temple president in Houston, Texas, and I want you to know that he gets my award for the best temple president I've ever had. I remember actually loving the philosophy as I grew up on the classes of Jayadwaita Prabhu and Jadarani. I spent a lot of quality time with Jadarani in those days in Brooklyn, and I never heard her once speak anything but the highest katha. I also went on Sankirtan with her, which was the sweetest of treats. She knew your books backwards and forwards and distributed each one individually just presenting what was in each book to suit the individual she was presenting it to. I often visited her with her as she worked on so many beautiful paintings to illustrate your books. In those days, the ISKCON Press was in New York, and therefore all the wonderful devotees who worked nonstop to make your books, which you describe as the handbooks for the next 10,000 years, lived there as well. And absolutely everyone in the temple went on Sankirtan. I had the most wonderful association with Divi Shakti, Mahara, Sikandini, Alarka, Sunita, Varanasi, Kamalini, Ragatmika, and so many others. Great Sankirtan devotees from all over America visited our temple in New York regularly and trained us in distributing books. Most memorable for me were Mulapakriti, Rameshwar, Pragosh, Budhimanta, and Gopavrindapal, all dedicated, charismatic, and on fire to fulfill your desire to make book distribution their life and soul. Romapada, Yogesh Chandra, and Tosan Krishna were my early Sankirtan leaders, and I pray that they will forgive me for having a weak mind and calling all the time when things were tough out there and I needed a shoulder to cry on. They were very generous with their encouragement. I did quite a lot of traveling Sankirtan in my early years, too, and visited many of your temples. I discovered that there were dedicated devotees everywhere and relished getting to know more and more of my spiritual family as I traveled to different temples. In 1975, you invited all the devotees to come to Mayapur and Vrindavan for the most incredible Gaur Purnim celebration and the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. There I observed the big picture of what Lord Chaitanya's movement had become due to your divine grace, taking to heart the order from your own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. After attending these enlivening festivals, we were all on fire to continue in our service of spreading Krishna consciousness fearlessly to every town and village. On the West Coast, I settled in the San Diego Temple for many years and got to work with incredible devotees such as Gunagrahi Prabhu and Mahatma Prabhu. Both were staunch devotees with incredible enthusiasm. They led wonderful kirtans and gave enlightening classes. I went on Sankirtan every day with Leela Shakti, Madhu, Shadananda, Ratnavati, Parashakti, and Mahodari. We were a band of brothers, except that we were girls, your daughters, all eager to please you. While on the traveling Sankirtan party in Chicago, I developed a taste for cooking delicious prasad and learned from the best cooks in the movement, most notably Gopati Prabhu. I learned pujari work from Rukmini, Shilavati, Dukahantri, and Kirtika. I also got to spend a couple of days cooking with Jamuna once when she was living in Penzance, England. I got to cook in so many of your kitchens and restaurants. Srila Prabhupada, you have given us so much. I appreciate all of it and hope that one day I will make you proud. I am especially indebted to all the wonderful devotees who you gave me to learn from and associate with. After all that you have given me, I never ever want to be a burden on you. I pray that I can follow in the footsteps of all my God brothers and God sisters. Please bless me eternally and give me your association, birth after birth, and please help me to become worthy of the society of your devotees. Your fallen disciple, Bhumi Devi Dasi.
Akaranath Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I also wrote something for this book, and I'm going to read it fast because I want to talk about it a little bit, and it's short. So, dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. We are reading your books and are discussing them, getting newer and newer realizations each day. Thank you for benedicting the world with these marvelous books, which are themselves incarnations of Krishna, Book Bhagavata. One time, when there was concern about deprogrammers in courts stopping your ISKCON movement, you said, "It is too late. The brainwash books are out." They were saying that we were getting people to join the movement by brainwashing them and kidnapping them by brainwashing. So Prabhupada said, "It's too late. Now the brainwash books are out." More and more books are still going out all over the world in dozens of languages, increasingly in India now as well, and they're being read and appreciated. It is too late indeed for the materialistic and atheistic way of life. The brainwashed books are out. More and more people are now appreciating your books and are receiving transcendental enlightenment and bliss from them. Study groups are forming where devotees regularly read and discuss your books and follow the principles of bhakti yoga you explain there. By reading your books with great attention, all their sinful reactions are being destroyed and they are becoming advanced devotees of Krishna. It is only a matter of time before the world sits up and takes notice of your books in a gigantic way. Eventually, major universities will have departments in Krishna consciousness, and the faculty will all be pure devotees. Films and television shows will be a first-class glorification of Krishna's names, forms, qualities, full of first-class glorification of Krishna's pastimes and rasas. Commuters will be seen with bead bags in hand, finishing their japa on their way to work. Politicians will have to be known as sincere devotees of Lord Chaitanya in order to be elected. Harinam parties will crowd the street in the evenings everywhere, and the big stadiums in the cities will fill up with devotees coming to have mass kirtans and hear the Harikatha of pure devotees. The deities in the temples will dance in joy, being pleased with the Sankirtan. You have accomplished all this, Srila Prabhupada. Rest assured, the brainwash books are out. And we, your followers, will continue distributing, reading, and glorifying them because they are saving the world. So I wanted to say that after someone read this, a good friend of mine had some constructive criticism and said, "What is this? This is just a fantasy, some dreaming idea that all these things are going to come to pass." And I just wanted to say that, the point in some sense is well taken, we should go, Srila Prabhupada gave us the example that he wasn't just dreaming. He always had big ideas, but he also had big determination. He wasn't just, having some fantasizing. I was thinking that actually, I know in the American Civil Rights Movement, some people have told me, some people who had been activists had told me that Martin Luther King was this great, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King was this great civil rights leader, and just a couple of years before Srila Prabhupada came to America, he gave a speech in Washington D.C. on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, "I Have a Dream" speech, in which he was able to use this imagery from Christian background to talk about that I've been to the mountaintop, I've seen what the world can be, what the world should be, and I may not get there with you, but we're going to get there. And he made this very powerful and moving, stirring speech that's very famous. And now every year we celebrate his birthday as a national holiday. And some of the people that I know say that now he's being presented like he was just a dreamer, rather than to understand that he was actually working tirelessly and intelligently and rolling up his sleeves constantly and diligently to push on this movement that he was involved with. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada was that way, and he was calling upon us to do that. So I didn't want to, so I thought it was a, the point was well taken that I shouldn't just spin some fantastic yarn, but also should be determined and follow Srila Prabhupada in his determination. But in response, in my own defense, I'd like to say that it's worthwhile, first of all, to know what to dream for, what to hope for, and that Srila Prabhupada gave us that. He gave us a mission. He of course, he wanted us to all become pure devotees, and he often said, if just one of my disciple becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, I will consider my mission a success. But he gave us an engagement, really. We have to have something to do with our intelligence, with our senses, with our determination, with our knowledge. And he gave us this great mission to transform the world really into devotional service, into Vaikuntha, by spreading, and he gave us the means by these books. And books are the basis, preaching is the essence. And so it's important to, you know, they say visualize the world as you want to see it and stuff. It's important for us to know what is our mission, what is our goal, what's a good outcome. Otherwise, how will we know how to strive for? So that's one thing. And second, it's not so unrealistic to think that if these are really are Srila Prabhupada's desires, just like that they will come true. Just like Srila Prabhupada wrote on the Jaladutta about his own spiritual master, that by his strong desire, this Sankirtan mission was going to be spread all over the world. And then Srila Prabhupada carried that out when people previously, some of his godbrothers thought that when Lord Chaitanya said, you know, my name will be chanted in all the villages and towns of the world, some people thought, well, maybe he was just exaggerating. That was poetic license that he, you know, he was saying that, because how could it really happen? But Srila Prabhupada showed that now it's happened, that people are chanting Hare Krishna in every corner of the world. And that Srila Prabhupada wants us to push the Sankirtan movement in so many ways. He gave us so many different assignments to do, and it would be wrong for us to think that it won't happen, especially when we have the desire of pure devotee, and when we're dealing with Krishna, anything is possible. You know, Dhruva Maharaj was a child. He had childish, desire. You know, children, they haven't heard all the realistic limitations that, you know, that people who have more of a negative attitude have, because they're still young and impetuous. And so he wanted a kingdom bigger than his great-grandfather's. His great-grandfather was Lord Brahma, so he really wanted a kingdom bigger than the whole universe, which is childish and impossible by any logical calculation. But he approached Krishna, and what happened, he was given a planet within the material universe that's actually a Vaikuntha planet that's greater than the whole universe. So although we can't conceive of how it's possible, it really did happen. So when we're dealing with Krishna, impossible things happen. And really, is it that impossible to think that this Krishna consciousness movement will take over the world and become the major force of spirituality and human religious activity, dharma, in the world, when really we see that it is happening. And it's so nice. Why wouldn't everybody take this? You know, we have a great product, right? Now we have to just distribute it, but we have the best. You know, we know what is valuable. For one thing, Srila Prabhupada has given us knowledge of what is valuable in life, and he's given us, as Jagarnyi was saying, the best culture, music, philosophy, art, you know, literature, fragrances. What is it in the universal form? Gandha, I forget now. He's smeared with different fragrances, the Gandha Vilopanam or something. But the highest welfare work, real true love, which everyone is looking for, and friendship, camaraderie, everything is there. We have the greatest thing, and we can distribute this. It's not unrealistic to think that it will be successful. We may not get there, but we'll keep carrying on this mission. We might not be there when it happens, or it may take another lifetime for us, because we do like to come back again and again in this Sankirtan mission. But it's a worthy endeavor. It's a great endeavor. It has every chance of success, because if anybody was sane, they would embrace Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement and this branch, Srila Prabhupada's branch of this Lord Chaitanya's movement, And you know, Srila Prabhupada left this for us, just like Krishna left for Arjuna to be the hero of Kurukshetra. So there's so many things we have to do, and we just have to become an instrument, and we can do it, and we will see it, or maybe not in this lifetime, but we are already seeing. It's people are taking more interest in Srila Prabhupada's books than they were. When I used to go out on book distribution in the 70s, people used to always say, oh, get a job, you know, why are you just bothering people? And I never hear that anymore, really. It's the mood has changed, and things are different. So it's not a fantasy to think that Srila Prabhupada's books will someday become recognized. They're already recognized by scholars, but someday they'll become recognized by all the important and leading personalities of the world. So we should all take part in serving this mission. Hare Krishna.
Akurnath Prabhu ki. Satyadev Prabhu, please give us your association. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Om Gyanata Mirandasha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksuram Militam Yena Tasmayin Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Pashtachadashatur. Well, I'm so impressed and touched by all the offerings so far of all the devotees. Each one of them, there's been so many gems to mine. I just wanted to read an offering I wrote on behalf of the Japanese devotees. And it's a short offering. And I'd like to offer this to you, Srila Prabhupada, today on behalf of the Japanese devotees. Dear Srila Prabhupada, we humbly submit ourselves at the shelter of your lotus feet. We beg to take the dust of the lotus feet. We beg to take the dust of your lotus feet. Allow us to bathe in those saffron mercy particles that have been in contact with your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada says that for persons like us who are in... Sri Prahlad says that for persons like us who are entrapped by material consciousness and addicted to material enjoyment, but who want to become free from such enslavement of the material mind and body, there is only one hope. There is only one solution. And this is a quote from Sri Prahlad Maharaj from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 5, Verse 32. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. So continuing on with the offering. Our faith in devotional life is very meager, Srila Prabhupada. Our attachment to this material body and the phantom self is very great. How are we to make tangible progress in spiritual life? How are we ever going to become attached to the lotus feet of Krishna? Certainly, our only hope is to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet. The dust of your lotus feet will cure our material disease and awaken our attraction to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, you are a pure Vaishnava, a Vaishnava whose only interest in life is in serving your spiritual master and Lord Krishna 24 hours a day. Due to your unequaled dedication and devotion, your lotus feet are emanating golden rays of mercy and compassion for all souls. We pray to be able to visit all the places you blessed with your presence, places where you preached, took morning walks, and so on. In those holy places, we will roll on the ground and bathe in the dust that has touched your lotus feet, unconcerned about what the uninformed bystanders may think of us. Srila Prabhupada, we beg to always hear the sound vibration emanating from your lotus mouth. Your words, in the form of your books, lectures, videos, letters, and conversations, are not ordinary sound vibration. Your words have touched the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Your illuminating words have mixed with the saffron mercy particles that surround the lotus feet of the Lord. Those fortunate souls who receive your sound vibration require nothing else in their spiritual perfection. When Lord Vishnu asked King Prithu what benediction he would like, Prithu Maharaj said that his only requirement was to have the opportunity to hear the sound vibration spoken by the great devotees of the Lord. And here's the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Verse 25. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of the great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. End of quote from Prithu Maharaj. In conclusion, Srila Prabhupada, on this holiest of holy days, the day of your divine appearance on this earth, we pray that our faith in the shelter of your lotus feet may become diamond-like in purity and strength. We pray that we always have the association of the great devotees who are unceasingly attached to hearing the sound vibration resounding from your lotus mouth, and who are always eager to share those saffron mercy particles with others, your servants of ISKCON Japan. Hare Krishna.
Satyadev Prabhu Ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go Premanande. Have I missed any Prabhupada disciples? Anybody hiding in the kitchen? Okay. May I have another book, please? Or you can just loan me yours. It's already open. You can loan me yours.
Thank you.
Well, I haven't looked. I'm hoping our offering made it in the book. Silicon Valley, eh? Page 177. Oh, okay. I wrote this offering on behalf of all the devotees, all the dear devotees here at Silicon Valley. Hare Krishna. I hope it's okay with you. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. Your appearance day is important to all living beings, even if some of them don't know it yet. Such people sitting unaware in their homes will soon be visited by a devotee who, on your behalf, will personally deliver to them a Bhagavad Gita as it is, a Sri Ashupanishad, or even a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam. The resident will hear a knock at the door and will say to his wife, "Are we expecting anyone?" Curious, he will look through the peephole on his door and see a young woman standing next to a baby carriage, clutching a stack of books in her arms. When he opens the door, the man and his family inside will be struck with the young woman's gentle enthusiasm and determined smile. "Hi, we're with the local ISKCON center, and we're going all over the neighborhood today meeting people. Have you lived here long?" she'll say. When the man answers that he and his family have lived there for 2 years, the young woman will show him a Bhagavad Gita as it is. Placing it in the man's hands, she'll say, "This is a book on yoga and meditation that will help you get free from stress." Then she'll ask him, "Hey, you've heard of stress before, right?" And he'll answer, "Yes, of course." Showing him the back cover, the young woman will mention that Emerson, Thoreau, Gandhi, and Einstein read the Gita, that it's world famous, and that it has been translated into English hundreds of times. She'll show him a list just behind the front cover of favorable reviews written by university professors about the as-it-is version. Then she'll flip through the color pictures inside the book, giving a running commentary on the paintings while showing the man changing bodies, karma, the universal form. She'll expertly involve him in asking him questions like, "You've heard of karma before, right?" And she'll compliment whatever answer he gives, making him feel special, because she knows that he is. While showing him the changing bodies painting, she'll ask him, "Where are you in all this?" He'll smile and point to one of the bodies that is about the same age as his. She'll tell the man that because the book is spiritual and therefore too valuable to sell, she will only accept a donation for it based on his desire to help spread this important knowledge to the world. When the man hesitates, she will encourage him by saying, "We don't need the money. The only reason we accept donations is that when a person gives in return for a spiritual book, he gets the ability to read and understand the book more deeply." The man, heartened by her honesty and conviction, will close the door slightly, go back inside for a few minutes, and then return with two $10 bills in his hand. His donation for the book and for spreading spiritual knowledge. After he hands her the donation, she'll ask him if he believes in the power of prayer. When he says yes, she'll hand him a card with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra printed on it and say, "This is an ancient prayer passed down through generations that wakes up pure love for God within the heart of anyone who repeats it." Then she'll ask, "Are you ready?" And without waiting for his reply, she'll begin, "Repeat after me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." The man, caught in the jet stream of the young woman's ecstatic enthusiasm, will repeat the mantra after her, two words at a time. When he completes it, he'll ask, "What does it mean exactly?" She'll tell him that the names of God are forever sacred, and that the three names, Hare, Krishna, and Rama, are personal names of God that mean, O energy of the Lord, Hare, O all-attractive Lord, Krishna, O reservoir of all pleasure, Rama. Then the young woman will reach into her side bag, pull out a sweet ball neatly wrapped and labeled, and hand one to the man, another to his wife, and one to each of his two children, who by now have given up watching television, to come see what is happening at the front door. After the young woman leaves and the man closes the door, the man's wife and kids will ask, Who was that? What's that book? Can we eat these sweets? What did she make you say? The man, not able to answer completely, will sit down to page through the Bhagavad Gita as it is, thinking to himself, Now let me see what I've given my hard-earned money for. He'll marvel for a moment at the name of the author, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. When he sees a picture of you, Srila Prabhupada, the supersoul within the man's heart will say to him, Take shelter here. You're finally in good hands. Srila Prabhupada, all beleaguered souls can soon expect relief because of the force of your campaign to liberally distribute Lord Chaitanya's mercy country to country, city to city, village to village, and door to door. Your success as a world acharya has come from your strict adherence in following your guru, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Before coming to America, in an offering to him you called Viraha Ashtaka, you wrote these verses. Nam Ghan She Hoy She Gurura Vani Bhuliyo o e kata shatta nahi mani. To chant the holy name of the Lord is the explicit command of my worshipable spiritual master. I could never honestly neglect that order. Tava mukha kirti para dharmana vishtar maha mantra mani je tar adhikar. Your greatest acclaim is that you propagated the topmost religious culture. Anyone who accepts the holy name from you becomes spiritually qualified. Adhikar labhe jadi shabi shishyakori tavi ta dukita jiva shangshara nishtare. If all those who have attained this qualification were to go out and make disciples, then the miserable conditioned souls would all be delivered from the world of birth and death. Jagai Madhai Udhari Prabhu Dayakori She She Prachar Karya Bujhale Shabhare. Just as the Lord delivered Jagai and Madhai out of his own causeless mercy, you explain to everyone this same method of preaching has to go on. Jagat Bodhya Geche Jagai Madhai Shabai Hariche Bhata Choitanyanitai. The world has now filled up with Jagais and Madhais to deliver. Everyone is anxiously looking down the road, waiting for Chaitanya Nitai to come to their rescue. Srila Prabhupada, the world has indeed filled up with Jagais and Madhais, but because of your success in following your guru and sticking to the path of the Acharyas, the world is also now filling up with pure devotees. Your ability to create pure devotees is your greatest success. Here at ISKCON Silicon Valley, our desire is to follow you carefully so that we can someday be counted as one of your success stories. Since you live in the intelligence of your sincere followers who apply your teachings, even amidst the daily struggles of life, we will struggle on with your mission. As your followers, we, the members of ISKCON of Silicon Valley, pray to honor you on this Vyasa Puja Day by following your example, dutifully taking the medicine you've brought and distributing it to others as you have prescribed. Your servants at ISKCON of Silicon Valley, California, USA, all glories to you. Hare Krishna. And I wrote this one, my personal offering to Srila Prabhupada. Pardon me?
That was in my book.
No, I got this.
That's yours?
Yeah. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. In the Bhagavatam, you've written that great souls cheat others for a great cause. Yudhishthira told a lie before Dronacharya to please the Lord. Vidura stole away with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari in the middle of the night to save them from an ignominious death. Sanatan Goswami cheated his employer, the Nawab, and the prison keeper to escape and run away to join Lord Chaitanya. And Raghunath Das Goswami cheated his priest and his parents and left home for good to live a life of devotion. And you've written in one of your purports that you yourself took the opportunity to cheat your family members, leaving home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. You've referred to these incidents as transcendental fraud. We're all sitting here today worshiping you, relishing our lives in Krishna consciousness, because one day you walked out of your home into the vast world of Kali Yuga, determined to fulfill the order handed down to you by your spiritual master. You did this voluntarily and with the singular motivation to please your guru. In light of the Bhagavat, you write, the Vedic knowledge comes in a tradition from the spiritual master through the chain of disciplic succession, and the knowledge must be acquired through this chain without deviation. Elsewhere, you've described the disciplic succession to be like a copper wire conducting electricity. If the wire is connected, it brings the current. Similarly, when a devotee surrenders to Guru and Krishna, it becomes a conduit carrying the current of Krishna's mercy. Those who touch that current become electrified with Krishna's mercy. From your lecture on the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 13th verse, you said, touching electricity by one wire, another joining another wire, if the touch is there, factual, then the electricity is everywhere. Similarly, if our Krishna consciousness is rightly connected, then there is no question of direct or indirect. Because absolute world, there is no difference. As soon as it is touched with the direct connection, that is called disciplic succession. Not only that, but Srimad Bhagavatam describes how a devotee of the Lord develops all the good qualities of the devas. You once told us a story about how a very rich friend of yours in Allahabad who was dying, requested the doctor to let him live for 4 more years. The man asked, can you not give me at least 4 years to live? I have got some plan, you see. I could not finish it. But you said, material nature is so cruel that the answer was, oh no, sir, no 4 years, not even 4 minutes. You have to go immediately. This is the law. So before that moment comes, one should be very dexterous to realize Krishna consciousness, unquote. Now, whenever I hear the word dexterous, I think of you, Srila Prabhupada. You are not only dexterous in cheating death, but also in writing, in speaking many languages, in learning and teaching Shastra, in putting forth arguments, in logic, in cooking, in singing, in playing musical instruments, in drinking water, in negotiating, in building temples, in evaluating art, in Sanskrit, in humor, in finding the essence in all things, in caring for your disciples, in your attention to detail, in economizing, and most profoundly of all, in distributing Lord Chaitanya's mercy all over the world, in every town and village, to people from every walk of life. The Guru Gayatri Mantra advises us to meditate on the spiritual master's enthusiasm to serve Krishna. 3 times a day when I chant this mantra, Srila Prabhupada, I remember how you never gave up despite you're starting with no material resources, how you push forward even when there were setbacks and disappointments. In your enthusiasm, you saw every situation as an opportunity to serve Krishna and engage others in his service, like the time when you accepted toilet paper as a donation from a homeless man. I marvel at how many shlokas you knew, and I long to see how and where you learned each one of them, how each verse came to you as a divine realization, and how you relished hearing and memorizing the shlokas that you personally heard from the lotus lips of your spiritual master. You gave me and all your disciples life by engaging us in your great mission. I heard you say that the conditioned souls all think that they are important, but actually they are all insignificant, being disconnected from their source, Sri Krishna. You reminded your disciples, however, that they were being honored all over the world because they were following the four regulative principles and chanting the Lord's divine names as their main business in life. This is all your mercy. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first met Lord Chaitanya, he thought him to be an ordinary sannyasi. Although Sarvabhauma's nephew, Gopinathacharya, told him that Sri Krishna Chaitanya was God, Sarvabhauma didn't understand or believe it until after he heard Mahaprabhu speak the 64 explanations of the Atmarama verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, Sarvabhauma's ego as a great scholar was flattened as he listened. And finally, he realized that no ordinary human could speak so prolifically about the Shastra with such a depth of perfect knowledge. When I first read your book, Srila Prabhupada, this was my experience too. I thought no ordinary person can speak so perfectly, so clearly, so prolifically. The Acharya, you write, is he who knows the scriptures well and teaches his disciples in terms of the disciples' capacity to understand and advance in spiritual realization. The speaking of the Acharya, you compare to a waterfall which can suddenly gush forth with water, bringing life to all living things below. Similarly, at the right time, the Acharya brings forth perfect knowledge, administered according to time, place, and circumstance for the benefit of the whole world. Srila Prabhupada, as you spoke, according to what you heard from your guru in disciplic succession, singing the Vedic mantras, composing books and letters, your energy formed a waterfall of life-giving knowledge for the world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that as Paramatma, he remains neutral, samoham sarvabhuteshu, allowing the fallen jiva to roam the material world according to his desire. When Krishna comes as Mahaprabhu, on the other hand, he is Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, who in the mood of a bhakta comes to Krishna in the mood of the bhakta come to distribute bhakti. He runs after the fallen souls, offering anyone who wants it love for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya's merciful counterpart, Nityananda Prabhu, gives bhakti even to those who are averse to it. Srila Prabhupada, this was also your method in distributing bhakti. The mercy of Nitai and Gauranga is flowing through you. Once a devotee in ISKCON left his service, moved to South India and joined the Ramanuja Sampradaya, taking initiation and even dressing like a Ramanuja. Eagerly one day he went to visit Sri Rangam for a darshan. Because he was a Westerner, however, the pujaris at Sri Rangam abruptly stopped him from entering the temple. He pleaded with them, "But I'm a member of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. I've taken initiation into the line." The pujaris were adamant and refused his many requests. In frustration, the devotee said, "Hare Krishna," and turned to walk away. The pujari called the devotee back, asking, "What did you say?" "Hare Krishna," repeated the disgruntled devotee. The pujari smiled broadly. "Oh, why didn't you tell me you were a Hare Krishna devotee? You're with ISKCON? Please, please, come take darshan." Anyone who wants elevation in spiritual life to the highest position will attain it by following your orders and the mood and method of devotional service that you have shown us by your example. As you are the true representative of Srila Vyasadeva, without adherence to your lotus feet, I have no claim to any service, and I am without shelter or purpose. On this day of your divine appearance, I offer myself to you in submission, begging for your mercy. Please give me the strength to ask for all things that will bring me to pure devotional service. I beg to stay forever fixed at your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we're now making an offering. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So the devotees, Jagarini, Nirkula, Bhaktivatsal, Mahaguna, Jamuna, anyone else? Bhumi, Akarna. All spent the last several days preparing a feast for Srila Prabhupada, which isn't just now being offered. Srila Prabhupada's honoring. And some of them stayed up all night, got up early, and were cooking. So we'd like to thank them for their devotion, which reminds me that there are so many devotees working together here in this community whom we don't see all the time at all the programs because they're doing so much service. And, of course, the ones who are at the programs are also doing service by being there. But yesterday's festival was a grand success. And from last year's festival, when the police came and told us we couldn't do it anymore, we had great anxiety. At least I did all year long. I was thinking, now everybody would be on my case even more because we don't have a new temple and we might get kicked out again. And I had a lot of sleepless nights worrying about Rath Yatra. And leading up to the last week, I was thinking of it. And then Hansapriya said she was looking out the window, chanting her japa, and she saw that fencing studio across the street and decided that she'd go ask the owner if we could have the program over there. And again, by Krishna's mercy, it all worked out. And it just seems that as we go forward, there'll never be a dull moment in our spreading Krishna consciousness. Working within a volunteer organization, anything can happen. Working with anywhere, anything can happen. But from the bottom of my heart, I thank all the devotees for your sincere dedication, and I relish the synergy with which all the devotees have come together and are cooperating to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. This is the greatest offering of all, to simply go on day after day. It's easy to start something, it's easy to break something, but to maintain, despite difficulties, despite transitions in life, and despite so many differences of opinion, this is the greatest offering of all, steadiness. So our offering to Srila Prabhupada as a group is ongoing, and devotional services cannot be checked by any material circumstance. And therefore, we are determined to go on with our mission, come what may. No one will stop us. And we'll go on spreading Krishna consciousness, teaching the Maha Mantra, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and reading from them deeply, intensely, carefully, and very scrutinizingly. And in this way, we will attempt to please Srila Prabhupada. Go Premanande Hari Bol.